Our book critic, Maureen Corrigan, reads a lot of murder mysteries and has taught a course on detective fiction. Last month, she was a guide on a mystery lover's tour of England. She's back now to tell us how it went.
Chaucer's pilgrims set off in April to make their way to Canterbury to pray at the shrine of Thomas à Becket. But modern-day pilgrims who seek to worship at the shrine of literature usually set off in summertime. In past summers, I've endured long, sweaty road trips just to be able to breathe in the sacred dust molecules floating in houses once inhabited by Herman Melville, Edith Wharton, and Emily Dickinson. This summer, however, I hit the academic junket jackpot, an all-expense-paid mystery lover's tour of England. In exchange for my scholarly expertise on mysteries, the Smithsonian Institution, which was sponsoring the tour, would put me up in 4-star hotels and cover all the fish and chips and warm ale I could swallow. I accepted the Smithsonian's offer faster than you could say the butler did it, and last month I found myself in London, boarding a bus with 2 guides and 15 participants, mostly retirees. Our first stop was Torquay, a seaside resort in southwest England that was Agatha Christie's home. After settling in at the Imperial Hotel, a grand Edwardian pile that served as the setting for some of Christie's mysteries, I gave an introductory talk on Dame Agatha's life. Afterwards, to my surprise, the participants clapped. The only time my undergraduate students clap is when I tell them I'm going to curve the grade on their midterm exams. I was really beginning to enjoy this tour, but the best was yet to come. One of our intrepid guides had visited a Torquay pub a few weeks earlier and had fallen into conversation with Agatha Christie's former vegetable gardener. After a few pints, this fellow agreed to take a note to Dame Agatha's reclusive daughter, asking if our group could visit the grounds of the family mansion, Greenways, which is never open to the public. Miraculously, Christie's daughter wrote back, inviting us to come. So on our second day in Torquay, the tour bus lumbered up a narrow country lane, and soon we were wandering among the descendants of the very same roses and marrows that Christie herself once cultivated. Christie's daughter, accompanied by her lapdog, even came out to greet us. Now in her 70s, she's the eerie, spitting image of her mother. The next few days were a delicious whirl of murder and mayhem. I lectured on Dorothy Sayers over tea and the Hound of the Baskervilles as our tour bus slogged through the moors. We gaped at Agatha Christie's typewriter, a replica of Brother Cadfael's monastery, and the National Stud Grounds immortalized by Dick Francis. And then we met a real live mystery writer. I won't say his name, but you know him. His mysteries have been serialized on television, and they've been praised, by me among other reviewers, for their erudite tone. I was delighted to be seated next to this grand old detective fiction writer at dinner that night. But as the evening progressed, I began to get suspicious. He kept putting his arm around my shoulder. Was it a paternal gesture? He'd lean over me to talk to others and put his hand on my knee. Was he just being avuncular? By dinner's end, the mystery was solved. Our literary eminence was clearly a lech. Constrained by my official role as tour study leader, and having no arsenic handy to drop in his coffee, I resigned myself to sitting with my elbows out and a disapproving Miss Marple expression on my face. Here was yet one more author better to read than to meet. That's the paradox of literary pilgrimages like this one. Our group spent 10 days tracing the footsteps of mystery masterminds, hoping that by walking around the same streets and villages they inhabited, we'd come to know these authors intimately. Yet actually meeting an admired author can oftentimes be a disappointing, even flesh-crawling experience. It's a fallacy to think that because we love a writer's imagination, we'll necessarily love him or her too. And yet, illogically, almost all of us devoted readers persist in that fallacy. Even after my squirming encounter with, well, let's call him Inspector Hound, I continue to collect author talismans, like a snapshot of Dorothy Sayers' front door and a napkin from the C.S. Lewis room in an Oxford pub. Then there's that little flower I plucked from Agatha Christie's garden that's now pressed into my copy of The Body in the Library. When I touch it, I irrationally feel a little closer to the queen of crime herself.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.